Good afternoon, Cell Group. Welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which is from Mark chapter 8, chapter 9, 36, 41, and 45, 47, 48. So, an interesting piece. It has two kind of sections in it. There's the first scene of two. It's talking about the mean-spiritedness of the apostles in the opening verse 38. John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw a man who is not one of us casting out devils in your name, and because he was not one of us, we tried to stop him." Interesting that twice he uses the expression, "who is not one of us," "he was not one of us." Instead of, you know, you'd expect John to say, "they were not following you, but they're not one of us." And that brings us very close to some attitudes in our own selves about different churches and even people who don't belong to any church. They're not one of us. There's the Latin phrase, non ex nostris, which some priests who love Latin use to describe people who aren't one of us. It's a division that obviously Christ doesn't recognize. He says, "you must not stop him. No one who works miracles in my name is likely to speak evil against me." So Christ has a generous attitude to the good that goes on, and it's not just limited to the people who are one of us. And I think that's a great teaching for ecumenism, for interchurch work, to regard anything good that happens as good, whether it's done by us or done by somebody who's not one of us. The word master is interesting too. Some translations have it as teacher. And of course, we call teachers master as well. Now, the second part of this reading are three scandals, if you like, that are all addressed, linked. But before we go on to those three, the three verses there, Jesus said, anyone who is not against us is for us. And if anyone gives you a cup of water to drink just because you belong to Christ, to tell you solemnly, he will most certainly not lose his reward. So they're kind of linked by different wee catchwords. And this indicates that the Gospels were an oral tradition. People told stories, remembered the things Jesus said. And a bit like poetry, in order to remember these things, there was a kind of a pattern to them or a link word that brought them to people's memories. And from this source, then Mark would have written his Gospel. So you find this in the Gospels, not necessarily connected, only connected by some words. The cup of water is a puzzling scenario. And the only way to think of it would be, you know, the kindness that we experience from people who aren't Christian, who aren't Catholic or whatever. And that kindness should always be acknowledged and thanked. It was originally, probably in the early days of the church, someone in prison, maybe during the persecutions of Nero, when Mark's Gospel would have been written. And you would have had maybe a pagan jailer bringing a cup of water to someone who was in prison. So that person is recognized here as a good person, will most certainly not lose his reward. So it's a good way to regard goodness in the lives of non-Christians. Now, moving on to this other huge section, which is about three obstacles. Now, the Greek word for an obstacle is skandalon, and from that we get the English word scandal. So it deals with a scandal. Anyone who is a scandal to bringing down one of these little ones who have faith in me. Now, that's not necessarily children. We would immediately think of child abuse, which has always been a problem with male sexuality, particularly. And it was addressed in the Hebrew teachings and also here in Mark's Gospel in the early church. But the little ones who have faith in me would actually be the believers, the followers of Christ. And anybody who does something to bring these people down or to cause them to lose faith, give them bad example, in other words, would be better thrown into the sea with a great millstone around his neck. Very, very graphic, very strong. There was a millstone that could have been turned by hand, almost like a food mixture that you'd have in the kitchen, something for use in the kitchen. But there was also a huge millstone that was only turned by a donkey. And this is the one that Jesus is referring to. So it's a very radical and a very clear way of doing away with somebody who causes scandal. Then we have, if your hand should cause you to sin. So these are very, very similar. Your hand, your foot, your eye. You could think of these in different ways, but they all have the same pattern. You will not enter into life. You'll not get to heaven. In other words, if you allow your hand to lead you into sin. And again, the sin of the hand would be relationships with other people, illicit connections that we can have in our lives. And to get rid of these, and to get rid of these soon, in other words, now. And your foot causing you to sin. The foot, we're supposed to be following Christ, walking along his pathways. He's the shepherd leading us. We follow, and if our feet lead us in other directions, then we should radically catch that on and radically stop it and not delay. And if your eye should cause you to sin, tear it out. I mean, there's a whole infection of pornography now in our society with mobile phones. They're so available. It used to be when I was a young fella, dirty books, we called them, and you hid them under your bed, maybe. But now it's available on mobile phones and very, very available. So there's a huge, huge challenge to all of us to help people who are addicted in this way, to lead them into a sense of discipline and a sense of the scandal that their behaviour is causing. Sunday Sequence had a very good thing this week on that. Now, you might have noticed that there's no verse 44, there's no verse 46, and that verse is here in verse 48, where their worm does not die, nor their fire go out. And that has been, 44 and 46 are dropped out of early manuscripts and don't appear usually in our Bibles. I think it's in the King James Version, but 48 is what you'd read in 44 and 46. So I suppose the thing been repeated three times for early people who were copying these things, they decided to drop them out. So that's the story. Where their worm does not die, nor their fire go out. Worms and fire were the usual ways for dealing with evil, and evil was seen as a corruption. Worms were always present when there was flesh corrupted flesh. And Jews would have been familiar with the great sort of dump to the south of Jerusalem, where the rubbish was burned. And the fires of that rubbish never went out. There was always a fire and smoke, and the evidence of worms devouring the flesh, and you imagine the flies and so forth. So this is the horrible end that would come to those who are evil and those who don't catch themselves on, those who don't repent. So it's up to us to encourage people to change, and also to have a respect for the way we live our lives, that we're authentically following Christ. So some wee questions to share. John objected to a person who was not in their group casting out demons in Jesus' name. Jesus himself obviously had no problems with this. Jealousy can poison our outlook, even when that is done, and even when what is done by another is good. So-and-so is invading my patch, that sort of attitude. Perhaps you have seen in yourself or in others the negative effect of jealousy and the contrasting positive effect of being able to rejoice that good is being done irrespective of who is the person doing it. So maybe you could share your experiences of that, of your own jealousy or other people's jealousy. Another one would be, in strong terms, Jesus condemns those who are destructive of the life of others, particularly the little ones. Just as Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full, we likewise are here to make a positive difference to others. What was it like for you when you were able to do something that gave life to others? So let us pray. Pour out your Spirit, O God, over all the world, to inspire every heart with knowledge and love of you. Grant that we who confess Jesus as Lord may shun whatever is contrary to this faith and give witness to your love that has saved us in Christ. For he lives and he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And God bless your work together.